You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Hey, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Wasn't that good? It's good stuff. Give me a hand, would you? That's great. Good job, Brad. Good to have Brad with us filling in with the keys. Give Brad a hand, would you? It's good to have him here. Great job. That's good. And Mark, I didn't know it, but Mark was pailing water out of his basement all night last night. And he's here at, 6:37, something like that, getting ready for everything. So let Mark know you appreciate him as well when you see him. So good, good. Well, I'll tell you right now, I do not like to be comfortable. Amen. What about y'all, right? Uncomfortable, not comfortable. I don't like to be uncomfortable. You know, yeah, I don't like to be uncomfortable. Sometimes I don't like to be comfortable, I guess, right? But here's the truth. It's interesting right now because currently going through some things at work. What is that? Going through some things at work that is calling me out of my comfort zone, really, truly. And an interruption from what I have experienced as a place of comfort, you know? And I don't know about y'all, but I have a comfort zone. Do you? All right, and I like that comfort zone. Okay, and what's interesting is that comfort zone. It's well, just to kind of fill you guys in, is my comfort zone's a little different. I mean, I've got a room, and I've got a TV, and I've got a chair and an ottoman, and I've got a lot of times chocolate chip cookies and milk, and that is my comfort zone. Right? And when I'm sitting in there, I can watch. Last night I was watching the Kentucky game, and they did really well, and I was so excited. And man, that's my spot, my comfort. And you know something? There's nothing wrong with having a comfort zone or being comfortable. The truth is that God was comfortable. You know, he created the heavens and the earth in what? 6 days, right? And he took one day, and that one day was what? Rest. It just so happens that one day it was rest. It's about 14% of the time, right? God takes time and rest, which means that the other 86% of the time, he's out working, he is out moving, he was creating the heavens and the earth. And you know what? At times, man, I'm in that comfort zone way more than 14% of the time. You understand what I'm saying? And so the reason I'm sharing all this with you is for this reason, is that it's okay to be in that comfort zone. We all need rest. Right? But at the same time, God has something bigger and more for us than just what's inside that area where we're comfortable. Right? God has something much bigger, and he wants us to experience a bigger life, a life that is filled with abundance, and a life that is filled with meaning and purpose. He's got more for us than just a chair and chocolate chip cookies, folks. And so I say all that to say that, man, God wants to make a difference. And in order for a difference to be made, what he does a lot of times is interrupt us from those areas where we're comfortable. And he does what Chris talked about last week in terms of calling us out. He calls us out. And last week Chris spoke of the call and what that call is and what it's about. And look, God has a call for each one of us, and that call is about a bigger life. It's about making a bigger difference. It's about living a life of purpose and meaning, living a life to our fullest potential. Folks, too far many of us live with a lid, and we struggle to get beyond that lid. And we find a place, and in that place, that is where we're comfortable. Now, here's what I mean for some of us. For some of us, stepping out of our comfort zone, stepping up and stepping out, it may mean this: changing shifts to get that promotion at work, or quite frankly, a job change. You feel you're stagnant where you're at. God has more for you, and God wants to expand your thinking and your thoughts and bless you with a bigger life. And so many times he presents another type of work. All right, a job shift and change. Maybe it's committing to take on a project or an area of service. Maybe in a life group. One of my brothers mentioned last this week when we met in our life group, mentioned this call to a particular ministry. And in that, he's like, man, I don't know if I can do that kind of thing. For some of us, maybe it's praying out loud or volunteering in a role or a testimony or a baptism. You know, maybe it's some type of giving, a more strategic way in which you give. Stepping up and stepping out with your family. Getting out of your comfort zone and demonstrating your faith in some way at a higher level. Folks, here's what I'm trying to say to you today, is that God doesn't want us to live our life in a place where we are continually in this area of comfort, in this comfort zone, so to speak, right? God's call on us is for us to expand our thinking, to lift the lid, and to experience a life that is full, a life that is filled with purpose and meaning, a life in which you're making a significant impact on those around you, growing and expanding your thinking. And I think a lot of times, more times than not, our thinking is way too narrow and it's way too small. And God, in order to expand that thinking, interrupts us and calls us out. I can think of many examples in my past where God called me out. Where he called me out. And that call, more times than not, is a wet your pants kind of call. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where you're like, oh my goodness, I do not have what it takes to do what I believe you're calling me to do. Do you understand what I mean? And here's what I want to say this morning. And this is the honest to goodness truth. If you are not having those wet your pants kind of moments, the truth is that you are not living, listening to that call. Because the truth is in my journey and in anyone's journey, and you can see it through Scripture. I can back this up in Scripture, and I'm going to do it this morning. There are points in our life when we get way too comfortable, and God sees that we need to grow in Him, that we need to expand our faith, that we need to move to a higher level of living in Him, and that we need to move and expand and grow, and He's got something for us. He wants us to make a difference. And in doing that, and responding to that call, it is a wet your pants kind of deal. Scary deal. Where what he's asking, you look at it and you say, there is no way that I can do that in and of myself. That's what I mean by wet your pants kind of call. You know, it's cool to be here today, to be a part of a church. This is about life change. You know what I mean? This is about, you know, we talk about life, to lead every person into a life-changing relationship with God, right? With Jesus. And that life change comes by way of following Christ and allowing Christ to move upon you and move in your life. And here's what I know to be true. What I know to be true is that this church is past the leadership of the church. Look, we are doing a message like this and we're talking about this because we believe that our potential is unlimited in Christ and in God. And we believe that God wants us to continue to push and press on and to move forward and continue to not ignore Him, but to pursue Him, right? And to pursue His call upon our lives. While saying that, I want to say that, you know, at times, you know, you guys have witnessed me being somewhat critical of the church. And that's not about this church. It's about the church in general, the church universal, right? And when you grow up in the church, like I've grown up in it, you see things sometimes and you experience things sometimes. And what I want to say is what I've witnessed more times than not, quite frankly, is churches who shrink back from the call because they're unwilling to step outside their comfort zone. Now, here's the truth. The truth is that we are the church. And hopefully that we're a church that responds to God's call on our lives, no matter what it means, no matter what it takes, no matter how uncomfortable it is, that we follow God's will in moving forward. And if you're truly a follower of Christ, a follower of God, you will reach points in your journey where the call is going to require a tremendous amount of courage. And in saying all of this, you know, and being somewhat maybe critical of the church, man, all you have to do is look around and see. You see churches that are shrinking back. And here's what I want to say this morning, is that when we fail as a church, when a church begins to shrink back and not respond to the call, and when a church stays in its comfort zone, the church withers away and dies. And I can give you example after example after example of a church, churches. Now, here's the deal. The church exemplifies or is an example or an illustration or could be a demonstration of each one of us personally. The truth is this, and this is proven. The truth is that when we shrink back and when we do not respond to the call, physically we die. It requires courage to continue to live and grow. That courage, meaning stepping out and moving forward, continuing to do things that's outside of that comfort zone. Here's what I'm trying to say. If you stay in your chair and eat chocolate chip cookies, you will wither away and die. Does that make sense? Figuratively, as you can see, and literally, you know? And man, God has so much more for us than just that. God wants us to expand and to grow. And what he wants is for us to experience the fullness of life. The church is the vehicle by which God's grace is channeled and the Holy Spirit is revealed so that people can enter into a personal relationship with him. And he wants the church to continue to move forward, not shrink back. Not shrink back. I say all that in hopes that we all understand what the scripture is saying here to us, what Chris started with last week, and what we're moving forward with is in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10. What you see is an example, an illustration of someone who received a call. Abraham, then it was Abram. Abraham, who later was Abraham, he responds to a call. Abram had it made. He was comfortable, man. He was in a cozy place. He had everything. He knew what he knew, and that's what he knew. And he had his routine, and his boxes were all in order, and everything was cool, man. Life was good, right? And God came to him and said, "Do you want to receive my blessing? Do you want a fuller life? Do you want a life of purpose and meaning? Do you want to experience life at a higher level where you can see a difference made and where you can make an impact upon others?" Basically, and if so, follow my call. And Abraham, he followed God's call. He followed his call. And it was a wet his pants kind of call. It was a big deal. It required courage to do what he did, to step out and leave what he knew to do something new. It was a big deal. Look at Abraham here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. Here's what it says. So he steps out. He follows God's call, and he gets to verse 10. "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe." Interesting, isn't it? And here's what I want to say. Whenever you begin to follow God's call, whenever you take that step, and whenever you move forward and respond, right, man, it is not uncommon for there to be an obstacle in your way. You hear what I'm saying, folks? It's not uncommon, more regular than not. As soon as you step out, the enemy puts something in front of you that is seemingly insurmountable. And here Abraham was. He steps out. It took a tremendous amount of courage. He changed his diaper. He steps out, and he's following and pursuing God, and boom, there was a famine. And it wasn't just a normal famine. Look at the end of verse 10. It was what? A severe famine. And here's what I know to be true. What I know to be true is these obstacles. These obstacles, look, the enemy puts these, I'm not trying to give the enemy too much credit, but I'm just saying he puts these obstacles in our way, man. And in these obstacles, they're more of an illusion than anything. What you're up against is something that the enemy is trying to get you to see, and he's trying to get you to buy into the idea that you cannot do what you're called out to do. So what is the normal reaction to that? What kind of reaction does the enemy want you to have? He wants you to shrink back, right? He wants you not to respond in courage or in faith. He wants to work on your faith, and he wants to mess you up inside, right? And what's cool with Abram is Abram had just enough faith, just enough courage to make that move and to press through that, right? To step out and to make the move. Now, here's what else we know. Look at verse 11. See if you can see it before me. Lee, can you help me? Here's what else we know. What else we know in verse 11? It says this. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Here's what I know. What I know is this, is that a lot of times that faith is enough to get you up and get you going, but quickly the Lord uses another obstacle, right? And the enemy's the obstacle, uses the enemy to show us that we need a little more faith to get through the whatever it is that he's calling us to. Does that make sense? So here we reach a certain point, and Abram reaches a certain point, and then he says, the Lord's showing him, you know what? You're going to need a little more faith to get through this, because this is what's going to happen. Now, what we're going to see here in just a minute, it was all a big lie about this. This idea that Sarah, in all her beauty, that the Egyptians see her, they're going to kill him. And so he gets her to say that he's a sister. I mean, he's acting out of his own flesh, not in faith here, right? You see that. And if anything, I find encouragement in this, because more times than not, when God calls me out, I got enough faith to take the step out and get my rear end out of the chair. But when I get up out of the chair and hit a couple objections, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Maybe I should just go back and get in my chair. When you step out and step up, you are met with resistance. You are met with resistance because the enemy does not want you making a difference in this world. The enemy wants you to live with a very small mind and small thinking. He wants you to live with lids and limits. He wants you to live within your boundaries, right? He does not want you to believe that you can receive something from God to move you to a higher level and standard of living, folks. Here, Abram responds to the call, and immediately he is hit with an obstacle. What is the obstacle? The obstacle is famine. And Abraham, does he shrink back? No, he doesn't shrink back. He doesn't stall. He moves forward. What did it require of Abraham? It required courage. Folks, last week Chris spoke of the call. This week we're speaking of the courage. The courage. We need the courage to not just to show up, but the courage to continue to move forward and not shrink back. If God called you out of your comfort zone my point is this, is that he wants you to experience the fullness of life. And in doing that, it requires courage. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. It says this. It says, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love. Do everything with love. You know, speaking of courage, you know, I think of the scripture where it says, perfect love casts out all fear. Now think about that. When you have a relationship with God and you love God, you choose to love God and you choose to appreciate Him for all that He's done for you, that love and you want to please God, when you want to please God, that love, that perfect love, casts out all fear. If you're wondering, how in the world do I get the courage to muster up, to respond to God's call? It's, man, you receive God's love. And maybe some of us fall short of God. God, give us your love right now to help us to move forward, to pursue you in your fullness. The love of God. The love of God moves us. The love of God is compelling. The love of God, it springs us into action. And all the while, we are moved. We overcome those doubts and challenges through that relationship with God, a God of love, a God that loves us more than anything in this world, giving us that love to help us muster up the faith and courage to press on. In verse 14, it says this. It says, when Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarah was very beautiful. And when the Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And she was taken into this palace. He treated Abraham well for her sake. And Abram acquired sheep and cattle and male and female donkeys and male and female servants and camels. And look, folks, here's what's interesting. Is even though Abram didn't do everything perfect, when he stepped out, he didn't do everything perfect. If you're able to comprehend that verse, you saw his lapse, right? And even in our lapses, when we step out and press in and walk through that courage, God still blesses us and helps us. Are you here with me today, folks? And that's what we see here. God's provision is made available to us, even in our lapses, even in our shortcomings, even in our fear and lack of faith, God's shortcomings or God's blessings are made available even in our shortcomings. Look at verse 17. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because Abram's wife Sarah. So Pharaoh summoned Abraham. What have you done to me? He said. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say that she was my sister? So that I took her to be my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way and his wife and everything that he had. Folks, famine did not stop Abraham in responding to God's call, and this obstacle with Pharaoh didn't stop him either. Folks, what I'm trying to say to you today is God has something for you. He's got a call for you. And when you pursue that call, you cannot, when you pursue that call and you receive by faith that courage, man, God will bless you and He will move you. There is no objection or obstacle that's going to stop you from doing what God has asked you to do. Have faith in this story of Abraham, who soon becomes Abraham. This idea of stepping up and stepping out, it requires courage. Courage. Here's what's cool in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. It goes back and it talks about all these people. We call it the Hall of Faith, all right? Because it goes through and it lists all these Old Testament, these people of the Old Testament, and it shares all these folks that stepped out in courage, pursued God's call and received God's faith, and they pursued and followed and did what God had asked, and lives were changed, time was changed, the scripture was turned, and you see just incredible movements of God working in their lives. Folks, it's pretty cool. And you get to Hebrews 11, 8 through 12, people who lifted the lid off, people who did incredible things. Look, here's what's cool, is it talks about Abraham in that hall of faith. It says, it was by faith that Abraham, in Hebrews 11, 8 through 12, obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his influence. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised, he lived there by what? By faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promises. And Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise, folks. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there was no way to count them. Interesting. I believe that God speaks to us and God calls us out even when we are as good as dead. Because the truth is I've been dead, right? Dead to life, dead to depression and darkness. I've experienced this to some extent, right? Good as dead. I believe in God's prevenient grace, a grace that comes before, a grace that sees within each one of us potential, a grace that sees within us something filled with meaning and purpose, a grace that in a love and a compassion for us as he did with Abraham, that sees something in us and he loves us so much that he wants to call us out, not just to inherit eternal life, but to inherit his kingdom here on earth. By the way, his kingdom is not the hereafter. The kingdom is the here and now, right? The kingdom is now, right? And if we truly believe that, why do we live with so much limitation? And if we truly believe that, why are we more prone to stay in that comfort zone than to be out making a difference? God help us, right? I believe that God is calling us out and calling us to make a difference in a hurting, dying, empty, lost world, folks. Chris talked about Billy Graham, and I remember in that autobiography, I read it a long time ago, and in it, like it's like chapter 2 or 3, you get into his early part of his ministry, and he reached a point in his life where he just did not know if he could believe that the scripture was truly the absolute truth and the inspired word of God. And you see in that book, Billy Graham's struggle, right? And he went to where he normally goes. He went to this area in the woods, and he was there in the woods, and he was just in this place, this pivotal moment in his life where God was calling him out, but yet he didn't feel like he could leave what he knew or leave and pursue this fullness in this relationship with God, right? And in that time and in that pivotal place, by faith, Billy Graham crossed over. And Billy Graham surrendered his life. And it was only a few short weeks after when his first big major revival in Los Angeles happened, where thousands and thousands were saved, and where the place was filled and packed out, and where it didn't just go for 1 week, but it went for 8 weeks. Look, folks, the lid was lifted. Are you here with me today? The lid was lifted, and it was lifted because he was willing to step out and receive the fullness of God and pursue God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. In your journey, if we are not interrupted at times with things like fear and uncertainty and discomfort, then we're not growing. You hear what I mean? Fear and uncertainty and discomfort. Fear, uncertainty, and discomfort are the areas in which you and I grow the most. Right on? And I just encourage you, look, if you're not experiencing fear, uncertainty, and discomfort, and you're not looking to God to help move you forward, you're missing an incredible opportunity for God to lift the lid and for God to make your world bigger. Some of you have been called out of your comfort zone or your chair for a while. And you know who it is. I don't know. You know. Right? You know. I believe this. I said at first service. I believe that some of us have been called out for a while. And for whatever reason, we've just not taken that step. And here's what I want to say to you. What I want to say, that the biggest enemy to us stepping out, moving forward, and experiencing the fullness of life, lifting the lid, the biggest enemy is procrastination. It's not a hard no. It's kind of a soft yes that just kind of lingers. Well, maybe next week I'll make that response, or maybe next week I'll fill out. Look, I've got one going on right now. My excuse is, I need to talk to Beth about it. Which I do. I need to talk to her about it, right? But yet, I have not taken the initiative, right, to talk to Beth about it. And my point is this, is that procrastination feels fear and stops. Is that you? And if so, you've stopped yourself from a bigger life. You stopped yourself from experience purpose, a more profound purpose. And you've put limits on what God wants to do in and through you. God, help us this morning. Let's all stand. Father, let's pray you would help us this morning. I pray that, Lord, there's been some, Lord, just help us this morning to settle in. I just pray against confusion and chaos and, Lord, distraction. Just help us, Lord. Help us to home in on what you want us to share, what you want us to experience. I pray that you, God, would just help us right now. Just bring us together right now. Bring us together in a way where, Lord, we can truly hear from you and be challenged and moved. Father, God, I just ask, Lord, this morning that you would reveal to us what it is that we need to do. And Lord, I call out procrastination, and I call that out and say, Lord, help us to understand that there's no time to wait. There's no time to procrastinate. It's time now, Father, with what time we have left, to take that step, to make that move. For some of us here today, it is your prevenient grace that is speaking to us right now. And for some of us that are here, or some of us that are listening online, on Facebook live stream, or through the podcast, we have been putting off this idea that we need to make ourselves, not that we can make ourselves, but we need to ask you for peace, and we need to ask you to help us receive you and receive your love. I pray that, God, you would help us right now, God, in Jesus' name, to open up our hearts and lives and receive you and your love right now. And Lord, some of us, I believe, we have put you off when we need to dedicate or rededicate our life to you. So, Lord, if that is you, if that is any one of us this morning, just pray with me. Father, I dedicate my life to you. And if you, this morning, if you have been sitting in your comfort zone, you're in your chair, in your comfort zone, whatever that looks like, and you know that you need to take a step up and out, and you know that you need to do something, you just know that God has something more for you, I just pray you would say yes to his call. And if you don't know what that call is now, I believe some of you know what the call is now. You've just been putting it off. I think there's others that don't know what the call is and you're waiting to hear, but just say yes. Just say right now with me, just say yes to God's call. So when God calls you, church, what do we say? We say what? We say yes. Is that your heart? Are you willing to do that? Yes, God, I will take that step of faith. Yes, God, I will volunteer. Yes, God, I will make a difference. Yes, God, I will share Jesus with someone at work. Yes, God, I will make that invitation to come to a church on a Sunday morning. Or yes, God, I will initiate prayer with someone. Or yes, God, I will lead that life group or attend that life group. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to be people that are sensitive to your call, people that are uncomfortable in our comfort zone, and that people who are willing to say yes to you no matter what it is. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.